Log Talk Radio.
Truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the word of God. And there is no word like God's word. No word like God's word. And I'm thankful that God has given me this opportunity to teach his word, to preach his word, to read his word, and to go through his word with all of you this morning. You know, I am so thankful that God has given me opportunity to start my day with prayer, my day with the things that I need, you know, because God is good. And, you know, I just get so excited when I know that I have been in the presence of the Lord, because he is just like that. He loves us, you know, and when we go into his word, he gives us everything that we need and more than we could ever ask for. You know, so the word of God tells us, for there are three that testify, the spirit, the water, the blood, and these three are in agreement. If we accept human testimony, God's testimony is greater because it's God's testimony that he has given about his son. And we got to go to the throne and not to the phone. So many times we forget who God is. We forget that he's someone that's in charge of everything. And the word that God gave me this morning, or early, actually late last night, was set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. The Lord God is calling us today to be different, to be new creatures in Christ, to be new creatures in our walk, in our talk, in how we act, because God wants the best for us, because the best is always yet to come when you get a do-over, when you get a new day and a new opportunity. God gives us opportunity every day. He gives us a new mercies morning by morning, and I am just grateful that God gave me a wonderful word this morning. Thank you, Dr. Nguzi Anora, for your word this morning and just for your testimony, because you touched my heart, and I'm grateful to call you my sister. Grateful, 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 thankful, and as always, truly blessed to be a child of God, thanking God every day for his blessings. Father God, we come together this morning, Lord God, lifting up the name of Jesus, knowing that our strength comes from your word, Lord God. Our strength comes from his mighty blood that flows through us because he died for us and gave us opportunity for eternal life. Father God, we thank you for the healing power of his blood for those that are healed from cancer, those that are healed from COVID, those that are healed from diabetes, those that are healed from all types of terminal illness, cancer, and so many others, God. For you are the ultimate healer. You are the healer, for by the stripes of Christ Jesus, your word says we are healed. And Father God, we trust and believe in your word and stand on it this morning. For all things are possible because Christ is who gives us strength. So Lord God, I lift up all those that are in pain, that are suffering. I lift up bereaved families today. So many have lost loved ones, oh God. And I ask you, Father, to bless the children who are orphaned by death, who have no mother or father to lean upon. Lord God, let the relatives that watch over them and that are entrusted with their care be sensitive to their feelings and to their hopes and dreams. Father God, I ask your blessings over those children. I ask your blessings over teachers, oh God, who get up every day, who go into jobs, Lord God, sometimes not appreciated for the hard work that they do. I lift up teachers today, Lord God. I lift up those that have to put on a uniform and go into hospitals, go into homes, go into facilities to take care of those that are in need. I pray a special prayer protection over our police officers, oh God. I know there are those that are not good, that have a spirit of the devil in them. But Lord, you will call them out, and you will call them out, and you will bring them into light. Pray, Lord God, as a widow of a policeman, of a state trooper, that you will watch over those that drive the highways and byways, protecting and serving and helping those that are in need. Lord God, give them shields of protection. For Lord God, you gave me, my husband, protected over prayer and supplication to you for over 28 years. And I can only say thank you, Lord, for keeping him protected on the road, on the highways, and on the byways as he went about his job protecting others. And Lord, I pray that special protection around all of those that carry that badge and wear that gun, that they be responsible and that they understand that you are in charge and you protect them every day, every night, through the midnight hours, through the morning light. You are their protection. And Lord, a special prayer for doctors who have to make hard decisions on life and death. Give them strength, oh God, to do what you have called them to do. And Lord God, I pray special prayers for pastors, preachers and teachers, and all in the fivefold ministry as they go about doing their assignments. Lord God, let them have victory over the enemy as he tries to slither in to their minds and spirits to tell them that they're not making a difference in anybody's life, but they are. And Lord, I lift them up, that you give them rhema words to speak. And that, Lord God, whatever we are asking in the name of Christ Jesus, it will be supplied according to your will, Lord God. I still continue to lift up my family, those that are sick, those that are hospitalized, those that are seeking more of you. I lift them up and ask shields of protection around those that are in states where people don't have to worry about anything. They're maskless and unvaccinated, and they don't care if they give anybody else an illness that they may die from. Lord God, I ask for shields of protection around those that need protection, that have no choice, that can't be vaccinated, that may not be able to wear a mask because of certain kinds of conditions and illnesses. I ask shields of protection around them. And Lord, you are the judge of everyone else, and you are the judge of me. I lift up your son's name again, Father God. And ask that this word that I am about to teach, that it be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. And I pray, Lord God, that all things will work for the good of those that are listening in and for those that trust and believe in you. But Lord God, I have faith, that Hebrew faith, that faith of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I believe, oh God, that all things work for our good. As that Roman word says, for those that trust and believe in you. I believe, and I lift up, giving you, oh God, asking you to increase as I decrease. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, my very humble heart, Lord God, let it be, and may it be, acceptable in your sight. For Father God, I give myself away for you to use me today. Use me, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I thank God for this word this morning. And I thank God for Dr. Stanley, who has written this awesome daily Bible, this Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And if for those that are just joining this moving forward experience, this is a Bible study. And the goal of this study is to read the Word of God, the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And so far we are on track. We are on October the 12th. We are in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9 and chapter 10 this morning. We will also go to Psalms 10, verses 5 through 9. And our New Testament word is coming out of Colossians chapter 3. So please join me as we get started. Get your word, get your word, get your word. I am coming out of the New King James Version. And it just touches my heart. Because, you know, we all, if, you know, if you're in school, in church and, you know, have been in Sunday school or Bible study, and they, when they refer to Jeremiah, they always refer to him as the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet, Jeremiah. And, you know, when you stop and you think about it, Jeremiah did cry. But he cried from love. He cried from compassion for others because it broke him down. When he saw the things that were going on and he knew what God was going to do, it broke him down. You know, there are those out there that, you know, want gifts. Lord, I want to be a prophet. Ooh, that's the gift I want. I want to be a prophet. I tell you this. Being a prophet is not an easy job. That's not an assignment that you covet. I tell you that. All the prophets I know go through, they feel so much. Because they see so much. Some things they can tell and some things they cannot. And it breaks some down. They have it hard. Don't wish for gifts that you cannot handle. Don't pray for gifts you cannot handle. Because there will be those that will speak on you, will talk about you, will say all kinds of things about you. And if you can't handle it, don't ask for the gift, because it's not easy. The fivefold is not easy. I know no one that's a part of the fivefold ministry who have not gone through, who are not some still going through. But we trust in God, and we believe that he will make ways out of no way. And that all things will work for our good because we are going to have faith and trust in him. So trusting in the Lord is what we do. And walking in faith is who we are. I will walk in faith. That is my goal. That is my life
faith. I want to have all the things that God said I would have, and I will not walk in fear. Enemy throws everything at me, including the kitchen sink, and touching the things that he knows I love and are important to me. But I will trust you, Lord. I will trust you. So let's get into our word this morning. Jeremiah chapter 9 and chapter 10, verse 22 through chapter 10, verse 25. So get your word out. It's time to go to work. And the word of God coming through prophet Jeremiah, who will be teaching this morning. And he says, oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they are all adulterous, an assembly of treacherous men, and like their bow, they have bent their tongue for lies. And when I read this word, only thing I could think of, are you sure that this was taught over 2,000, 3,000 years ago? Because I'm going to tell you something. It is a today word. It is a today word. One thing about Jeremiah, it is so on point that it's scary, because it's just like he was teaching today. And I'm going to go back to verse 3. Actually, go back to verse 2. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them. But they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. We almost had an insurrection because of lies. From what? Powerful men. Treacherous men. Adulterous men. But this is what it goes on to say. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord. Everyone take heed to his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Their dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and try them. And how shall I deal with the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peacefully to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? The Lord God is speaking through Jeremiah to all of our nations, every last one of our nations. For we know that God is in charge. He says, I will take up a weeping and wailing for the mountains and for the dwelling places of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up so that no one can pass through, nor can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the birds of the heavens and the beasts have fled. They are gone. I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a den of jackals. I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Who is the wise man who may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? Why does the land perish and burn up like a wilderness so that no one can pass through? Think about this, family. How many fires have happened in the Western United States? It seems like every day we're hearing about a fire. Now we got an oil spill. Is God getting our attention yet? And he goes on to tell us, and the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts and after the Baals, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them across among, also among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for skillful wailing women, that they may come. Let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run with tears and our eyelids gush with water. For a voice of wailing is heard from Zion. How we are plundered. We are greatly ashamed because we have forsaken the land, because we have been cast out of our dwellings. Yet the word of the Lord, O women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters wailing, and everyone her neighbor a lamentation. For death has come through our window, has entered our palaces to kill off the children no longer to be outside, and the young men no longer on the streets. It's like the prophet is speaking to us today. He is speaking to us today. Speak, thus says the Lord. Speak, thus says the Lord. Even the carcasses of men shall fall as refuse on the open field, like cuttings after the harvester. No one shall gather them. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness to the earth. But in these I delight, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt, Judah, Edom, and people of Ammon, Moab, and all who are in the father's corners who dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel uncircumcised in the heart. Hear the word, chapter 10 of Jeremiah. But before we go into chapter 10, let's go back to a life example from Dr. Stanley. And Dr. Stanley's life example is from Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. It says, Jeremiah is often called the weeping prophet, for little in his writings invokes ease or comfort. He wept because the people of his time had turned from God and had begun to reap the dreadful consequences of their sin. He also wept because with a careful eye of a true prophet of God, Jeremiah saw the devastation to come. And even though he occasionally urged the Lord to give his wandering people full measure of what they deserve, and we'll be getting into that when we get to Jeremiah chapter 11 on tomorrow. Because, you know, sometimes you get tired. You know, it's like, Lord, just go on and do what you're going to do. Because they just evil. Just evil. You know, Lord, if it's your will, then you just, you know, you just get angry when you see children being hurt. When you see folks just being callous to each other. Folks being nasty. And then want to go and sit in the church talking about hallelujah. When you just saw them out doing some dirt. And you know they've done dirt. I say you've been a recipient of their dirt. But yet they want to act like they so holy. Come on now. We all been there. I'm not the only one. But I ask for forgiveness. And I forgive. And I let it go. As I was on a word I heard yesterday morning, I shook it off. You got to shake off all that stuff. You can't let dirt from other folks cling to you. You got to shake it off. You got to be just like that dog that comes in out of the rain, shake off all that water. You got to shake off all that stress. Shake off all the strife. Shake off all the nasty words. Shake off that illness. Shake off the things that are not of God. For whatever things are true, we got to shake on. We got to hold on and not shake off truth. And sometimes it just makes you want to cry, the things you see and the lies you hear and the hypocrisy of those that speak to many, many people. But this is what Dr. Stanley says, and he says, and even though he occasionally urged the Lord to give his wandering people the full measure of what they deserve, Jeremiah 11:20, most of the time he pled for mercy and divine grace needed to lead them back to repentance, Jeremiah 8:20-22, which we read on yesterday. But I'm going to go over there one more time for those that may not have been with us on yesterday. And when we go to Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, actually verses 20 to 21, 22, it says this, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hunt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I'm sorry, for the heart of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? And I got teary-eyed yesterday when I read that because it is so today. We wonder, is there no balm in Gilead? It's over 700,000 people have died in this nation. Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? And what Dr. Stanley said in the life lesson on verse 22 on yesterday was this, even in Jeremiah's day, God offered hope and healing to a spiritually diseased people, but they had to come to him and accept his prescription to find life. We will never find life anywhere else. That was an awesome word, and it touched my heart. And it goes on to tell us, and this is what it says, Dr. Stanley says, he says, do we weep when we see people wandering away from God and headed straight toward judgment? Do we strive to show godly compassion to those in great spiritual danger? Or do we keep silent, hoping to see God's wrath poured out on our enemies? That's one of those dilemma words that gives you something to think about. Jeremiah 9:24, life lesson. This is what Dr. Stanley says. Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Intelligence, power, and riches all give human beings the illusion of being in control. But the illusion always comes to an end when we put our confidence in God alone. However, we find something worth our boasting. We got to trust God to get you through whatever the situation. Know that God is in charge. As many know, on Sunday I traveled 11 hours back and forth to visit with my father-in-law for probably a 45-minute visit. But when God puts something on your heart, you go. When God says, I need you to go wherever it is to pray, to sing, to give supplication, to know that I am God. I need you to get up and I need you to move. You go. And I did. And my sons, we travel, check on and see, touch, feel. You know, all those senses, to smell, to touch, to feel, to see, to hear, and to know that the angels of heaven watch over God's children. And that we have to bind those spirits of unbelief of what God can do. But always understanding God's will always be, whether we like it or not, God's will. God's will, not ours, always. And as we go into this word this morning, chapter 10 of Jeremiah says this, hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them, for the customs of the peoples are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree, and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. Inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are all together dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. Silver is beaten into plate, brought from Tarshish, and gold from Ephesus, and the work of the craftsmen and of the hands of the metalsmiths. Blue and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skillful men. But the Lord is the true God. He is a living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods, those little g's, that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. You know, and if you were in my area on yesterday, it poured. It rained really hard. I mean, you couldn't even see in front of you in some places. It was raining so hard. And I tell you, you know, I had driven, and I hadn't had an opportunity to wash my car, and my windshield was a bug-infested mess. And I was going to work yesterday morning. I said, ooh, Lord, I need some ladder rain. This windshield's dirty, because I couldn't even, the wipers even wouldn't clean it off. And by the time I got off work at my first shift in the morning, and it had rained really, really hard. And I, you know, wiped off my windows. And I'm like, look at you, God, clean windshield. And didn't even have to spend a dime. I got a God wash on yesterday. A God car wash. If there is such a thing, I got it. But, you know, I digress. Let's get back into the word. Chapter 10 of Jeremiah, verse 14. Everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. And then all you can say is, you better preach, prophet. You better preach. Every metalsmith is put to shame by an image, for his molded image is false, and there is no breath in them. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up your wares from the land, O inhabitants of the forest. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will throw out at this time the inhabitants of the land, and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is severe. But I say, truly, this is an infirmity, and I must bear it. My tent is plundered, and all my cords are broken. My children have gone from me, and they are no more. There is no one to pitch my tent anymore or set up my curtains. For the shepherds have become dull-hearted and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the report has come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate, a den of jackals. Oh, Lord, I know the way a man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Oh, Lord, to nothing. Pour out your fury on the Gentiles who do not know you, and on the families who do not call on your name. For they have eaten up Jacob, devoured him and consumed him and made his dwelling place desolate. And as we go back into the life lesson from Dr. Stanley, it says this, who would not fear you, O King of the nations, for this is your rightful due. And it goes on to say, for reasons of his own, God chooses to veil his glory most of the time. If men and women fall prostrate whenever they see an unveiling angel, an unveiled angel. See Revelations 19 and 10. Imagine what they would fear if they saw God. And we're going to go over to Revelations chapter 19, verse 10. And I say this, you know, you have folks that talk about, well, if you do this, you know, it's 666. Read the word. There's going to be a whole lot that's going to go on before the mark of the beast comes about. But I tell you now, it's a preparation going on, and we need to be aware and to be vigilant as men and women of God. Always watching, because the enemy is busy, and we know this. And when we go, it says a celebration in heaven is the title of that word. When we go to Revelation chapter 19. And I am coming out of the Tony Evans Holman's Bible. And it says this in verse number 10 of chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. It says, then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters who hold firmly to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Folks freaking out. And believe me, I believe that we're going to start to see angels one day. Be ready. But understand, an angel is nothing compared to Jesus in his true form, compared to God, compared to our Heavenly Father and his Son. We have never seen anything like it. Just get ready, because God is coming. The Savior is coming. The angels of heaven are coming. The question is, when that trumpet sounds, will you be ready? Will you be in right order? We got to trust God. Psalms 118, verses 5 through 9. I called on the Lord in distress. I can attest to that. Called on the Lord in distress. And the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in princes. We got to put our trust in God. We got to trust that the Lord has got our best interests at heart always. Though you slay me, I will trust in you. Got to trust God always. And it says in Psalms 118:8-9, and this is a life lesson from Dr. Stanley. It said, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Even the best of friends can say one thing and do another. Even the most trusted public officials can break their promises. God made us to depend on him, to look for his guidance and direction and counsel. We commit our lives to him, not merely for salvation. I'm going to read that again. We commit our lives to him, not merely for salvation, but for what we need and where we go every moment of our life. God always does what he says and keeps every promise he makes. Who so trust in him? So who can we not? Why can we not? Who can we trust more than we can trust God? It's a word that God is saying. Who can we trust more than we can trust God? Not anybody. Not mama, not daddy, not anybody. We got to trust God. And what does the word say? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. We love God, and he loves us. But this is what he tells us in Proverbs. A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter taste is sweet. We got to love God. We got to trust in him and know that all things will work for our good. So many times we play games with each other and with God. And believe me, God sees it all and knows it all. He knows our heart. And he knows our minds. And as we continue in this word this morning, in Colossians chapter 3, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, but you die and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The dead in Christ arise. Apostle Paul is preaching this message. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication. Come on now. Uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Girl, ooh, she got a Cadillac. I'm going to get me one of those. Mm-hmm. You know, sister such and such is driving that BMW. Girl, I'm going to, you know that car should be mine. Did you work for it? Are you paying that car note? You don't know anybody's story. All you see is the outside, and you don't know their struggle. So quit coveting whatever it is that, you know, you are looking at that belongs to somebody else. Because believe me, you don't know where they got it. You don't know what struggle they have to get it or to keep it. Keep your tongue behind your teeth. And as we continue, it says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked in, you lived in them. Once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are put off all these. Anger. Can you say, I'm shaking off anger? Wrath, I'm shaking off wrath. Malice, I'm shaking off malice. Blasphemy and filthy language, I'm shaking it off. What's that filthy language out of your mouth? I'm shaking it off. So let's go back again. Verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off, and we're going to all put it off right now. We are shaking off anger. Say, Lord, I shake off anger. I'm shaking off wrath, Lord. I'm shaking off wrath. I'm shaking off malice in my heart, Father God. And I'm shaking off blasphemy. Lord, forgive me if I've said anything against your word. For your word tells me not to take your name in vain. Lord God, forgive me. And then as we go and filthy language out of your mouth, Lord, please do not let me cuss out the driver in front of me because they're going too slow and made me miss the light. You know, we got to stop acting up. You know, we got to shake off the filthy language. Do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of God. We got to shake off the old man because we are new. We are new women in God. We are new men in God. We are new in God. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Lord, I put on my tender mercies. Lord, I put on kindness. Lord, I put on humility. Lord, I put on meekness. Lord, I put on long-suffering. I'm putting on them fruits of the Spirit, y'all. Are that fruit of the Spirit. You know, some of these are fruit of the Spirit, and we put it on with glory and with gladness, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We got to forgive each other. Forgive your sisters. Forgive your brothers. Forgive those that have hurt you. Forgive the Sister Susie's and the boo-boo and them down the street. We got to forgive folks. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. Hallelujah. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hallelujah. Wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting to the Lord. I think it said, wives, submit to what? Your own husband. Come on now. And it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Disobedient children, God can't handle. And he will reprimand them if you don't. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. You can't be out there always making our kids angry. You know, you got a whole bunch of angry children out there these days. And the ones that get the bulk and the blame of all of that mess is teachers. And teachers are just doing their best. They are trying to make it through. And yet, teachers get blamed for everything. No, you need to take care of your child. If Billy is being bad at school, then Billy needs his behind spanked when he get home. Because in my day, we didn't play. When you went to school to learn, and that's what you did. You kept your mouth shut and did what you were told to do. And if it was something that was going on that was wrong, you came home and you told your parents, and they handled it. They handled it. And it goes on to tell us, bond servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service or men pleasing, but in sincerity of heart, fearing, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. And that is our word this morning. And we have some life lessons from Dr. Stanley, and the first one is this from Colossians 3 and 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Transformation is God's goal for us, and we cooperate with his plan of spiritual metamorphosis when we train our minds to dwell on the things of God rather than on the things of the flesh. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The you, Paul has a mind, there is plural, you, as in all of you in the church of Jesus. We cannot grow into maturity in Christ Jesus without the encouragement, help, and even the needs of others. Colossians 3:23, and it says, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. We cannot be men pleasers. You know, well, I'm going to do this because, you know, and you drive yourself crazy trying to be men pleasers, be God pleasers. Lord, what do you want me to do? And that's what you do. What thus says the Lord. And sometimes you got to open your mouth and say, I don't have time. I cannot do that. I will not be there. You know, we got to stop and start doing what God says do. You know, I'm going to take off all day of work for 1 hour. Unless you're doing that 1 hour for God. Whatever you do, do it for God. Not for self-aggrandizement, but for God. Because God's got something for you in the end. And that something is eternal life with Jesus. I want to make it through the narrow gate, and I pray that you do too. And it says this in a very real sense. Everything we do for Jesus. We can do our jobs for Christ, or we can do them for a cranky supervisor. Come on now. We can do ministry for those who perhaps don't appreciate it, or we can do it for Christ. It's our choice. Whatever you do today, family, where all you go into your jobs or whatever you do, do it for Christ. Do it for Father God. Do it because you are an obedient child to your Father. Do it for the right reasons and not for the wrong. Trust God and do what God says. Don't worry about what people say about you. Do what you know. It's right in the sight of God. And that is all I have this morning. Anyone that would like to speak, push the number 1 on your phones or your devices, and your line will be open. So as we get ready to go, this is our word for this morning that God gave me, was set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. But I'm not talking about being so heavily minded that you know earthly good. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Everything, do it for God's glory. Because it's not about us. It is always all about him. And a word from our sister in Christ before we get out of here today is this. Good morning. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. Ooh, we love that word. Pray. Say it again. Pray. Have a tell it to God Tuesday, family. Set your mind on things above. Pray. Not on the things of the earth. We got to keep God first. Faith over fear. Faith is above. Fear is on the earth. We can't fear. We got to walk in faith. Have a blessed day, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our Master Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray over you and yours. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Tell It to God Tuesday, for our Father God is always listening. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. Who do you work for? You work for God. Whatever you do, make sure you do it for God. If you're a teacher, teach for God. Let your children see his light in you. Some of those kids have never been to church. Some of those kids don't even know who Jesus is. But when they see you and they see your love, they see your kindness, they see the joy and the peace that comes off of you, they see Jesus in you. And one day they're going to want to know, what is there different about you? And God will open doors for you to tell them about Jesus. And as we go through our days, whatever you do, do it for God's glory and be blessed. It's a wrap.
Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. I lift my hands in praise. Somebody lift those hands. Praise is who I am. I will praise him while I can. I'll bless him at all times. I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. My testimony in all that I go through. Somebody said, why? I said, because praise is what I do. Sometimes I
I'm not.
All of